Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm here again with Catherine Kay, author of The Gilder. Hi, Catherine. How are you doing?
Hi, Tyson. I'm doing well. Getting ready to go back on the road.
Yeah, so tell us what you've been up to. I think the last time we you and I spoke on the air, you were about to do Pages, and I hear that was a huge success.
Yeah, Pages in Manhattan Beach was wonderful. It had a huge crowd. Many thanks to my friends and the owners of Pages, rallied the troops. It was great, and had great questions. I particularly enjoy getting the questions after a reading, especially in the early days like this. A lot of people haven't read the book, and so I can't give away too much, but people are intrigued by the little tidbits that I throw out. It was funny, actually, at Pages, the first four, and a couple of people commented on this, that the first four questions came from men, and I only say that's unusual because I think of my book as more of a woman's book, although I'm finding that a lot of men are actually reading it and enjoying it. And the first, I had talked about how the character discovers that one can lead to another and another and another until she discovers that her life is basically based on lies. And this fellow's first question, he raised his hand and he said, well, now tell me about your research. Are you, you know, do you know a lot about lying? I said, oh, are you calling me a liar? And everybody laughed. And I said, of course I'm a liar. I write fiction.
Yeah,
everything
exactly.
I say is made up. But anyway, it was a really fun evening. And the next day, I flew to Utah and did readings. Actually, I think you and I spoke from there. I did readings in Park City and Salt Lake City.
That's right. I told you I ran into a bookseller from the King's English while I was in New Orleans, and had some great things to say about your appearance there. And some of the feedback that was going on.
Anything in particular?
Yeah, no, it was actually, I don't know, it was an interesting encounter. They definitely they enjoyed having you. They told me this story. I don't know if you mind me telling it. Yeah, but it's, they said, yeah, we had one woman that came back afterwards, and, you know, she said, I really like the book, but there's way too much lesbianism in there.
the first time anybody said that.
Yeah, the other, I was with two different publishers, and their immediate reaction was, and what's wrong with that?
And that's a problem?
and that's a problem? That's a great selling point.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tricky because I've talked to people about this, and it's like, do I talk about that? I mean, basically, it's about the relationships between women, and yes, there is some question about sexual orientation, and there is a lesbian couple who have children, so I talk about that, having two mothers and that. But I was very careful when I was writing it, intentionally not to make it a lesbian novel, which it's not. But it does cover a lot of territory. Mm-hmm. And that was Salt Lake City, what can I say?
Yeah. No, it was really, you know, definitely caught me off guard. I thought it was wonderful. And, you know, I also ran into the owners of Pages as well down there. And just wonderful people. That experience that you had down there is really, I mean, that's really unique for an author.
Yeah. Especially a debut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could see getting huge turnouts like that. I mean, there were 50 or 60 people there. But, you know, it's great. And also, the book group at Pages, affiliated with Pages Bookstore, had read the book. They got advanced copies and had read it. And so I think that helped get the word out and bring in more people. And I'm really interested in meeting with book groups wherever I go. And even if I'm not in the area a couple of months from now, I can still do that via Skype. And I'm going back to Manhattan Beach in February, actually on Valentine's Day, to meet with that group so we can really talk about the book, because we really couldn't talk about it with a group of people who hadn't read it. It would give away too many plot points. So I'm very much looking forward to going back and chewing on the book. And they all individually, many of them came up to me and said, oh, I thought this or that about this character. And, oh, that was really good. And how did you do this? How did you do that? And so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's obviously what the interaction that authors really love, having to promote books, is that just being face-to-face with people who are actually reading them. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, when you're out there hitting bookstores, you don't always get that because you're introducing people to the book and you're trying to make waves and trying to charm people as you go along, hoping they'll continue to promote it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I found, as I said earlier, the book's been out barely a month, and of course, a lot of people haven't read it. So, when I do a book talk and a reading, I have to be careful about what I say, only giving enough information away. But in general, what I find is that people are interested, who perhaps might not have been interested, and then they'll say, "Oh, that sounds really interesting. Oh, that's intriguing." And then they'll buy the book. So I find it helpful and encouraging to do that, to give a talk.
So the actual book exceeds the expectations of of what it looks like or what it may appear to be?
I think so, not only from people listening to me, but I'm finding, I hear from people all the time. I get email from people, either people I know, people who know me, friends of friends, and people who perhaps don't know me very well, and there's a lot of enthusiasm. I mean, it's been great. As I said before, I've been hearing from a fair few men, and they're like, "Oh, I really like this. I couldn't put it down. I wanted more." So that's nice. As you know, we sit in solitude and write these books, and then put them out in the world, and hope somebody likes our baby. So it's really, really fulfilling to have these comments back from people.
Sure. And what about passion and prose, which is the Long Beach, I guess it's kind of an RT conference, which is a big book club event with women's and romance writers.
Well, it is, and I'm not, a romance writer, but when my publicist at Kensington said that... this was months ago, that there was an invitation had been extended to me. I just said yes, because obviously I'm saying yes. I haven't said no to anything yet. And I thought, what fun. You know, I'll meet lots of people, and I'll meet other writers, and it's a day-long event with, I think, 50 authors and 500 fans, they're predicting. I'm not sure how it will turn out. It's the first year they're doing it. I think it's at the Westin in Long Beach. Passion Prose, February 25th, and they have some keynote speakers and lunches and small panels, and they're doing a speed dating sort of thing where people come and sit in front of an author for, I don't know, 20 seconds, and you get to pitch your book to them, and then they move on to the next author. So that will be good for me.
Definitely. Do you think that would be an interesting... You know, years ago there was this, I'm sure there have been plenty of them since then, but I remember very vividly the first fiction West Coast tour, which was three or four debut fiction authors just decided to go on tour together and really wave through each town. And, you know, I kind of envisioned that whole speed dating type thing on the road. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to hear maybe your take and some of the other authors talk about how Passion and Prose is, because that's not the way all those conferences are formatted. I mean, they...
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've never heard of it. I mean, everything else they've said, you know, I'll sit at a table at lunch with 8 or 10 people and we'll get to talk. And that's always, I mean, I've never been in that seat. I've always enjoyed having an author to talk to. But the speed dating thing, I don't know what they're calling it, but anyway, it's like speed dating, I think will be fun, and I will be interested to hear what people think. after the event, and I hope it's a great success, and they have a great turnout. They're also doing a drawing for I think it's called Girl Write, and it's raising money for young women writing programs for young women.
Yeah, Write Girl.
Thank you, Write Girl. And have the opportunity, and I'm doing this, to contribute a basket. Mine's going to be
great.
The Gilder basket, and then they'll be raffled off. And, for example, in mine, it'll all be obviously a copy of the book, The Gilder, and it's set in Florence, Italy. So I have a beautiful book on Florence, and I have a little gilded frame, Italian wine and olive oil and chocolate and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will be enticing and raise some money. I think it's a great idea.
Write Girl's, I think, a wonderful organization. It's also based in downtown L.A., but they just celebrated their 10-year anniversary. And I think what they do is fabulous. Would you consider taking a group of young girls to Florence?
Depends how young they are. You know, those teenagers, they can get a little out of hand.
You don't want to be a chaperone.
I've been interested in working. You know, I have the Nantucket Writer Studio, and I teach writing to women on Nantucket Island, and I have for a number of years now wanted to do a workshop for girls, either middle school or high school. I don't know what age group is the Write Girl program for.
It's mostly for teenagers.
Teenagers.
I don't know the exact ranges, but you know, the participants that I've been involved with were in the 12 to 18 range.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that middle school in particular, that's 12, 13, 14-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that. My daughter's now grown, but I remember that period of time, and it seemed that is right before they go into high school and just begin to conform.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can bolster their creativity and their individuality in those middle school years, they might that might survive and thrive a little more during the high school years, which I think are really tough socially. And so that was one of my thoughts. Well, at some point, you know, I'm in L.A. a lot. At some point I can do a workshop, a weekend workshop or a day or an hour
mm-hmm.
or something with some girls. Let me know. I'd be interested in doing that.
Yeah, that's great. Speaking of Italy, you know, you and I have talked a lot about just the idea of exposing the Gilder internationally. But what do you think about Italian audiences in this book? I mean, if you were...
Well, I don't think there's a big difference, really, between... women. I mean, obviously, each culture is a little different, but this is a story of women. It's about friendships between women and mothers and daughters, and also men and women. And of course, the Florentines might get a kick out of having me write about their city. But I think it's universal. I mean, I think this book really could pretty much go anywhere, and people would relate to it. And it's about, it's about love, and it's about betrayal, and it's about forgiveness, ultimately, which crosses every culture and every generation. But I think where I thought you were going with that question and what you and I have talked about is I'd be very interested in taking a group. I've always thought of taking a group of writers to Italy, and I thought what fun to have a Gilder tour of readers to walk the city and walk the path of the story.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. And it could be combined with a writing workshop. It could be combined with anything, really. But that's something that I'm really interested in pursuing.
Well, yeah, I mean, literary tourism, you know, it happens, it exists. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of great activity out there.
Well, and you know that National Geographic Traveler magazine listed The Gilder as one of their what they call triplet books, and it said, "Don't go to Florence without reading The Gilder." And that
was
that was a great mention.
Yeah, definitely. So I wonder if, you know, people are going without you then. You know, they're just, well, they're going with you with the book, of course, but, you know, but they're going on their own.
Well, the book's only been out a month. Probably nobody's gone yet. Give me time to get out ahead of them with my tour.
Right on. Well, well, we're both leaving to go up to the Bay Area tomorrow, so we'll see you up there. Definitely at Book Passage in Corte Madera.
Yeah, that will be on Thursday for me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night I'm at A Great Good Place for Books in Oakland.
Yeah, wonderful bookstore up there.
Got.
And it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, no, so. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Have a pen,
well,
we'll travel. There I go.
Exactly. All right, so we'll see you up there, and then we'll do some more notes from the road in the future.
Sounds great.
All right,
thanks
a lot, Catherine. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. It's just no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number.